Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them, which had been evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirits answered, and this is interesting, and they said, and he said unto them, "Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are ye?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. So if you love the Word of God, let's go ahead and close our Bibles, set it down, and lift your hands up and give God the thanks and praise for His incredible Word. God, thank you for everything that you're doing in our life. God, we thank you for your Word that is set in heaven and is everlasting to everlasting. We give you the praise, God, for you are mighty. You are mighty. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. So you may be seated. Wow. If you told me 6 years ago that I'd be standing here, I would have laughed at you. Brother Travis, I don't know if you remember, in my house about 6 years ago, you were preaching to me the Word of God. And could you have envisioned this moment now? No. Yeah, me either. Me either. Amen. So now in our text that I just read, we see that God truly does work miracles. God truly does things that are very special. He does special works. He does things that are impressive to watch. When God works and everything that he does, and you see it in the book of Acts, it's impressive. Now, by the way, are you glad for God who is always available for you? When you access his presence, you can access his spirit at any moment. So we see here that Paul is being noticed for doing incredible works. People see that Paul is operating in power, and that power that Paul is accessing, he's preaching about. And you see people who want to be involved in that power. There's some people who want to partake in that power. They say they want the feel, the magic. And a lot of these people think that the name alone accesses everything. They think that they can command by the idea rather than the act. They think that the idea of the name is where the command happens, and that's not the truth. Rather, they see the things that are occurring through Paul, and they say, he's only accessing the name of Jesus. So then they say, okay, we'll access it the same method. We'll do the same thing. We're just going to access the name of Jesus. But you notice it does not work for them. You notice that these men, they try to cast out the spirit, and the man that is full with the spirit overcomes them, and they run naked and wounded because they accessed the wrong idea. And so tonight I want to preach on the title here, The Secret Within the Apostles. So there's one thing about the name of Jesus that don't get me wrong. I'm going to say this. It is the most powerful name in the world, right? We know that. End of discussion. There is no other name in the world by which we are saved, whereby we must be saved. There's no other name. There's no other conversation about another name. There's only one name, and that's the name of Jesus. Forgot my handkerchief at home today, and I've got sweat in my eye. Excuse me for a minute. Thank you. Thank you, brother. So, we see that name. We see the sons of Sceva try to use it. And we understand that the devil does not tremble in this situation. He's not trembling. He's supposed to, right? But when they're doing that, we say, the devils have confidence, and they say, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know. But who are you?" There's a lot of confidence when they address each other. And I think it's ironic because it's even sarcastic to a point, because these seven sons of Sceva, and I'm curious here, why they have the name, but there's no power in that name. In that moment when they access the name, there's no power. So I began to research. I began to read into it because I was curious. Sorry about that. This is my first time preaching. So, amen. So there's something within Paul that is being missed here. There's something within Paul that sets hell on edge. There's something that's within Paul that causes the demons to tremble. And we need to know and identify what is inside Paul that is making the demons of hell tremble. But that thing that's in Paul was not in the sons of Sceva. We need to identify that. We need to analyze what is going on here. Where is the power being accessed that the sons of Sceva are not getting? Paul is accessing this, but they're not. So if you look in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So the Holy Ghost, now I'm here to tell you this afternoon, there is nothing else other than the power and the love and the sound mind, which is that is the most important thing. And when you accept the Holy Ghost and you are filled with the Holy Ghost, whenever you're involved in the world, everything else that you've been involved in that is contrasting to the Holy Ghost, that needs to be removed. Because the Holy Ghost will have nothing to do with the things of the world. So if you're doing things in the world and you're partaking of the things of the world, you don't have what you need in order to act with the Holy Ghost. You need to release those lifestyles, release the way of living, release the actions that you're partaking of and say, "God, I'm going to accept your way. I'm taking the Holy Ghost, I'm taking your spirit, and I'm going to act accordingly." And so that is something that I've noticed here that the sons of Sceva apparently are missing. They're missing something here because they are still of the world. They're practicing things in the world. They're doing things that they do not need to be doing. So what they're forgetting is they're forgetting to focus on the Holy Ghost and receiving the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to stop for a moment here and let every one of you know that this scripture here says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And I want to let you know here that if you have racism in your heart, you are not filled with the Holy Ghost. You have to get rid of these things which are contrasting to the things of the Holy Ghost. When you receive the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost will have nothing to do with this. The Holy Ghost does not identify your skin color as any sort of relevance. Whenever you are filled with the Holy Ghost, regardless if you are deaf, if you are hearing, you are blind, it does not matter. You love each and every person that steps through these doors, amen? So, again, this is not about us just saying, "Oh, I say I have the Holy Ghost. That's great." Well, what I'm trying to tell you here is if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not in the world, but in power." You have to be active. You have to act. You have to do something about it. There's power in your action. And that's what you're doing. Your love is an action. These are things that you're not what you necessarily say, not necessarily how you feel, but it's what you're doing. So when you're accepting and you're infilled, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you receive the power of God through the Holy Ghost and you're still partaking in the things of the world, that's not how this equation works. You need to get away from those things and you say, "Hey God, I'm going to now access your kingdom. I'm going to get a hold of you and I'm going to act in what you're doing and I'm going to do the Lord's work from this point forward." There's no more going to the bar. There's no more going to smoke with the friends and hang out. "Hey, this is just a social gathering. I know it's a bad place," but no. You have to separate yourself. You distance yourself from those things because you are now getting a hold of the kingdom of God. You're now accessing that power. Amen. So if you look at the book of John, chapter 1, verse 12, it reads here, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Thank you. It's getting a little warm in here with all these lights. Great, brother. So he says there's a power to become the Son of God. There's power. The authority that is involved in that, in becoming the Son of God, is incredible. It's a privilege to become the Son of God. That is one of the greatest honors that anybody can be bestowed with, receiving the infilling of the Holy Ghost, being called the Son of God. There's nothing else in this world that will compare to it. This gift, you have the earth and you have the authority in the earth, but that has no power to cast out devils. There's authority in the name of Jesus that does that. But the earthly authority to heal the sick, to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, it is not done by your power. It is done by the power of the Holy Ghost that fills you, that works through you. Amen? We're getting that so far. Are we following so far? Amen? Okay. Now, I want to talk about how you can get that power. How can you can access that power? If you look in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." But if you do not have the power, the evil spirits do not care who you are. They do not care who you are because you don't belong to God. You belong to them. It does not matter what you're doing. It does not matter what you said. If you said, "Oh, Jesus' name is great." Yeah, like Paul preaches Jesus' name. I'm going to go ahead and say the same thing. That does not matter. Yes, there's power. Yes, Jesus is the most powerful name in the world. But if you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, you are not accessing. It does not matter how many times you said, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." It does not matter. The devil will not listen. He will not hear you. Yes, in the world you say, "In Jesus' name, help me." And if you're in the world and you're seeking after him, I promise you he will help you. But the devil is not going to be in any place to where he answers your commands without the Holy Ghost. You understand? So when you have the power and you call upon the name of the Lord, you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, mountains will move. Chains will be loosed. They will fall right off. They will break off. The binds of addiction, those things will be broken. The oppression of generational curses will be taken away. And the impact of the past mistakes will now no longer be of effect because they have no longer have any power over you once you've accessed that Holy Ghost. Once you've accepted and received the Holy Ghost, it has no more power over you. Sickness must leave. Fear must leave. And here's a perfect example, and the Bible gives perfect examples. If you look in the book of Matthew, chapter number 16, verse 18, it says, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." It's not going to work. And Peter, he received something very important in his life. When Jesus said, "Hey, by the way, I'm going to build a church and you're going to help me out. What you're going to do is you're going to do the work on earth because I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to take care of the spiritual stuff. You're going to still be on earth and you're going to be building my church." And I think that Peter had to be a little bit overwhelmed. And Pastor Sutton, I don't understand how you stand up here with these lights. It's so hot up here. I thank you for everything you're doing. I'm going to thank you again. Thank you. Hey, maybe I'm a little bit nervous as well. I don't know. So if you look 4 or 5 verses after this, you see where Jesus is looking at Peter. And the same breath here, 4 or 5 verses later, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And that shocks me. It's only 4 verses ago that you just told this man, "I'm building my church and you're going to help me out." 4 verses later, you're telling him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." What changed? I don't want to hear what you have to say. Get thee behind me, Satan. And look, reading through this, it shocks me. God is not going to be either, you know, lukewarm, hot or cold. I'm not sure. I'm going to change my mind. I'm not exact. No, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So why in that moment, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he told this man he's going to build a church using him and then tells him, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, I tried to figure it out. Why? So I looked into it, and it's a very simple explanation. And I'm going to base it off of my version. Maybe you disagree with me, but this is what I'm reading into it here. Peter did not have the power yet. It's really that simple. Peter was not yet in a place where he had received the infilling of the Holy Ghost and understanding what he was supposed to do. He believed in the truth, but if he knew what he was going to be doing in the future, he would not have had denied Jesus three times. But he's done so because he was a little lost. He was a little broken. He didn't understand what was happening. He didn't understand what was happening, and he was a little confused. But it's okay because the day of Pentecost is coming. Right? The day of Pentecost, the day that is promised in the book of Joel, the day that is foretold is coming. It's going to happen. And Peter will then receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and he will then be accessing that power. He does. If you look in the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as like a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, Peter, at this point, is now ready. He's been filled with the power in order to do what Jesus has called him to do. Jesus says, you will be the rock. You will help me build my church. But he had to find a book of Acts chapter 2 experience and preach there. That's when the great message of your salvation is preached. And that's where Peter says, you need to repent. You need to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost. Some people say, what is this? What is the gift of the Holy Ghost? Well, this is the power that I'm talking about. And guess what? It's available to each and every one of you in this house. To you, and to everyone in this room. Everybody has the ability to access this. Everybody who is hungry for it and wants to receive the Holy Ghost, God is willing and able to pour that out on your life. For this promise is unto you. And unto your children. Do you understand that? It does not matter your language. It does not matter your skin color. It does not matter how old you are. I know some people think, well, you know, that's something that's old school. We're new age. No, it's not old school. It's new school. It's new school, baby. It's new school. It's here for you to stay, and it's here for you to receive. It's ready for you to take and say, this is what I can get. But this depends on whether or not you're ready. It depends on whether or not you're ready, because God is ready. Amen? And there is a reason that each of you are here tonight. Each and every one of us that are here tonight are here for a reason, and we all know that. So you are here to experience that heavenly gift that God is ready to pour out on your spirit, on your life, okay? And I just want to tell you all here tonight, I feel I need to share this, and I share it often. God is ready to pour out his spirit on your life, on each and every person here, okay? I don't care if you haven't received the Holy Ghost. Hey, that's all right. That's all right, because if you want to receive the Holy Ghost, let me tell you, hang on, there's going to be an opportunity. It'll happen. Now, if you look in the book of John chapter 3, verses number 1 to 2, it says, behold, God has given to us that we shall be called the sons of God. Therefore, The world knows us not, because he knows that they know him not. And beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we should be. But we do know that when he appears, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. Just imagine that, the power of that, to be like Jesus. No, of course, no. We will never be identical, be him. We cannot be him, but we can be like him in the small ways that we can, in the little ways that our flesh can handle. Imagine the power of his robe. That's all it took, and that's all I need. The hem of his garment is all that I need. That's the little bit of power that I can talk about and bring healing into somebody's life and bring deliverance into somebody's life. Everything that you need can be accessed with that little bit of power. And I want you to know that it is here today. Jesus has the power, and he's ready for each and every one of you right now. Amen. So just a small taste of being like Jesus, just a small taste in the little way that our flesh can handle. And I can imagine Paul, he was not exactly like Jesus. He was not. No, Peter was not either. Peter was not exactly like Jesus. But they were like him in the small ways that they were able to do, because they were filled with his spirit. And that is why those demons in hell, they tremble. That is why the demons say, Paul, we know, and Jesus, we know. Because Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. He was fully man, but he was the man Christ Jesus because he was fully God. He was filled with the Holy Ghost because he is God. He is altogether. There is only one identity. There's only one name. There's no separation in identity. There's no plurality of deity. There's only one. There's one God. There's one Lord. One faith. One baptism. There's no separation of 3, 4, 5. Let's just come up with different numbers. And no, there's only one God, one name, and that name is Jesus Christ. I want everybody to go ahead and cry that out. Jesus. Amen. So if you have that small taste, if you have that ability to access his power in the small little ways that we can, you will be able to. You will be able to win. All the demons in hell will not be able to prevail against it. They will tremble. They'll be in fear. And they say, okay, that man is full of the Holy Ghost. That woman is full of the Holy Ghost. I'm out of here. I'm out. Peace out. I'm gone. I'm not dealing with this anymore. I'm scared of this because there's power here. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost, who are you? Who? I don't even know who you are. We find that the devil says, who are you? You belong to me because you haven't even been filled with the Holy Ghost. But if you have that small taste of that power, just to be like Jesus, just to be like him, and the demons of hell will tremble. You have that power. You've accessed that power to defeat each and every one of them. Everybody in all the demons in hell will tremble at the power that is the name of Jesus. They will fear you because they understand that you have accessed his power. Amen? Right. Amen. We need to be full of his spirit. Now, some say, how do you get it? How do you receive the Holy Ghost? Thank God that we have our Bibles here to explain to us how we can receive this gift, how we can receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. How many of you are thankful for the Word of God, and that is established in heaven and is everlasting and it shall not pass away? Thank you, Jesus. So again, how you receive it is a process. It's a process. If we look again at what Peter taught in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, and you notice here, the first step is repentance. And there's one funny story here I learned. It's actually yesterday. There's a young lady here, Valentina. She knows, she's fluent in Spanish sign language. And it's neat because the Spanish sign language, the word for repent is, I'm going to make sure I'm signing it right. It's like this, right? Repent. And I think that's neat, and that's an interesting way to sign it, because in American Sign Language, this means dumb. So basically, what you're saying is, oh, you've been dumb in the spirit. You need to be washed. You need to turn around and become intelligent in the spirit and do what the Word of God is telling you to do. But, no, there's no but. It's actually and. But, so repent. That is a military term that was used for many years. And the word repent, we all know, and you see, not too long ago, but a lot of people, they'll be marching in place and they say about face and they'll, boom, turn around. Okay? So you're going to do an about face from the world to the spirit. You're going to do an about face from the things of the world to God. You're leaving those things behind. It's not an about face where you kind of peek around your shoulder and you say, hey, you know, that looks really good. I remember that. No, 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 no. That's not what we're doing. When we've repented, we've turned from the things of the world to the things of God. And that is now our focus. It is not one of those things that you're looking back upon. And I don't need to remind us here this evening what happened to Lot's wife when she turned around, right? Okay? We all know what happened to Lot's wife, right? When she turned around, that was it. She became a pillar of salt. Yeah, that's not a good thing. I do not need to become a pillar of salt. I don't know about you here, but maybe if that's you're into that kind of stuff, I don't know. But hey, I like the way I am, okay? I know I'm a little big, okay? But I like it, okay? So, repent. This is this way, especially in days back in the time of Moses, when they set the tabernacle up. Most of my church family, most of you have heard this preached again and again and again. And it's very good that we've heard this preached again and again, because we need it. Because many times when we go out into the world and we see people say, oh, that is the Old Testament. What are you talking about? This is a New Testament faith. What they'll try to do is make excuses to exclude certain words because they're said in the Old Testament. But what you forget is the Old Testament does its job pointing to the New Testament. And that New Testament will show you what the plan of salvation is from the foundation of the world, because, hey, guess what? Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And he was slain for each and every one of us. And it was back in the Old Testament. It's very important that we all understand. We understand and we read our Old Testament, because our Old Testament will show us what happens in the New Testament, okay? So that repentance, and Pastor, you can tell me later if I've got this all wrong, but I don't think I got it wrong here. But, you know, that repentance shows that we have I have it written down here. The altar. I can't remember how to spell it. I didn't forget the word, okay? Don't laugh at me that much. So, but this shows where you need to repent. People can say, oh, it's so Old Testament, we're in the New Testament. Well, guess what? It does not matter, because God is in both testaments and you need to repent. So before you were ever, you can ever hope to touch the Spirit of God, whether it is in the Old Testament or the New Testament, before you could ever access the Spirit of God, you had to repent first. Before you could ever do what you need to do, you had to find a place of repentance. You had to turn away from the things of this world, the old ways, the old man, because that is no longer in effect. You say, I'm a new creature in Christ. You have to turn that. You cannot stay in the world and hope to access the power of the Holy Ghost. You cannot stay in the world and feel the awesome power of the Holy Ghost. He will call you. He will work on you. He will whisper to you. And even it could be at a late hour, but he will not fill you until you've repented. And that is the same you see in the Old Testament, the Old Testament tabernacle. You could not access the Holy of Holies until you sacrifice on the altar. You could not access these things because we understand this is a typology here for repentance. The sacrifice is a typology for repentance. You have to turn. You have to let go of that before you can access the temple. And same thing with the New Testament. We see here, us Gentiles, we have the privilege of experiencing it in a different way. But We still need to access that feeling of repentance before we could ever get a hold of the Spirit of God, or we could ever be filled with the Spirit of God. We have to first repent. Okay, we following? Amen? So the point of this is to show you from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Just like I said recently, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this is something that's not going to change. He does not change his mind. He does not change his mind often. I mean, one time it happened where God repented, but that's about it. That's where we find God repented because he said, I made man and I'm repenting of it a little bit. And so then he had to wipe him out with the flood. We know the story, okay? Same concept with each and every one of us here today. We need to turn away from the things of this world. We cannot keep looking back and desiring the things of the world. That's not how this works. We need to focus on the Creator. We need to focus on God. Are we with me? Okay? This is God's plan. Okay? Next you find, and some people say repentance is your death. And you say, okay, well, you have to die again. And again is a weird term. That sounds wrong. Okay, sorry. You have to die. Your flesh has to die. Right? Not your spirit. Your spirit doesn't die. Sorry. Sorry, Brother Noland. I'm making this a mess. But without your flesh dying out, it's not a literal passing away to where your body is 6 feet under. No. But your spirit, your fleshly man has to die in order for your spiritual man to be born. So your old man is the things of this world, and that has to die first. The concept here, we understand the type of death I'm talking about, we see with Jesus. Yes, he died, but without him dying, there could be no new life. First, you have to repent. First, that fleshly man has to die. Then, you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? This is the typology here. I'm misspelling it here, but for the brazen laver, you have to clean yourself. You have to be cleansed before you can walk into the tabernacle. And that same concept, before you get into the presence of God and you access his power. And I know some people say, oh, God will pour out his spirit whenever he wants. Yes, that's the truth, and I thank God for that. But the process, you repent, you are baptized, you can then receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. So obviously, after repentance is when your flesh is buried through baptism. You have to be buried with him so that when you are buried with him, that new man can then arise with him. Amen? So the reason I'm kind of giving a lot of examples here with the Old Testament, New Testament, I keep pointing back to this first. My examples is because I'm trying to illustrate to you. I know a lot of you understand this, and I'm preaching to the choir in this case, but the Bible has given us line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. So that's why we have to understand, and we have to understand, we study and analyze and figure out what the Bible says from the Old Testament to the New Testament, because this is not one of those things where, okay, I've read a little bit here, I understand. No. You have to connect this line, this here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, prophecy connected to this prophecy and this fulfillment and that fulfillment and this prophecy. Let me give an example. With Joel chapter 2, the promise was given that God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. We see that in Joel, but we see it come to pass in the book of Acts. God fulfills his promises and he poured out his spirit upon all flesh on that day. But that's a process. That process in receiving the infilling of the Holy Ghost was begin in Acts chapter 2. We still with me? Is anybody asleep yet? No? All right. So this can wash away the unclean things in your life, the filth, the grime. Being baptized in the name of Jesus cleanses you of your sins. So I thank God for the ability to do that, because I know before I had ever stepped foot into a church, I was not somebody, I was a rough person, okay? Now, we're not going to go into that. But this is very important. I'm talking about baptism right now, because without baptism, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You just can't. That's something you can't access. Jesus said this in John chapter 3. He said, you must be born again. or you cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't even see the kingdom of God. It's something that's not, you cannot access it. So Nicodemus obviously has a question. Nicodemus says, well, born again? Oh, that's comical. What am I supposed to be? I'm supposed to find my mom and say, hey, mom, come here. You need to give birth to me again. No. That's impossible. And obviously we understand that because when Jesus reiterates his initial phrase, he then says, unless you be born again of the water, which is of baptism, you cannot enter or even see. Because if you can't see it, there's no way you're entering. Right? It's just like trying to walk through a door in the dark. If you can't see the door, you're not walking through it. You're going to hit a wall. Okay? You're going to hit all the walls and you're not going to find that door until you're filled with the Holy Ghost, that light. And then you will be given the light that will then illuminate your life that every man in the world can see the kingdom of God. You can see it. You see the door. And it has instructions on how to arrive. So you have to be baptized. You must be born again of water and of spirit. You must be born again. Okay? And if you look in the book of Mark chapter 16, verse 16, it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now I notice here, he who believeth not will be damned. It does not say he that believeth not and is not baptized. The reason it doesn't say that is because if you truly don't believe the word of God, baptism is not even a part of the equation. If you don't even trust God when he says you must be born again of the water and of the spirit, if you don't trust that, then what's baptism at the end of the day? That's why we are to be baptized. That's why Jesus said that. Jesus said, if you are born again, being baptized, and that's how you are to be saved. But if you do not believe in this, baptism is not even in your mind. So this shows me something. It shows me that baptism is a mandate for salvation. We all must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in order to be filled, in order for that salvation process to continue. You must be baptized the way that is commanded in our Bibles. There's no other way. There's no other different method. He told the disciples that, you know, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So I'm just going to copy that method because I'm lazy. I don't want to find the name it's talking about. So just, we're going to mimic this because Jesus said it. Let's back up a little bit. Jesus told Peter, hey, I'm going to build my church upon this rock. I'm going to build my church. And it's safe to say that Peter knows exactly what Jesus is talking about at this point. It's safe to say that Peter and Jesus, they understand what's happening here. Jesus says, hey, Peter, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Peter understands this is going to be, the baptism is going to be done in the name of Jesus, not in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. When Jesus says in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost in Matthew 28:19, Peter walks away with a different understanding. When the day of Pentecost happens, what he preaches, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name. And I want you to understand that article, the, references a singularity. There's only one, right, Brother Nolan, right? There's only one name. There is no plurality in that word. There's no letter S on the end of name, okay? The singular name of the specific name of Jesus Christ, okay? That is the name of the Father. That is the name of the Son. That is the name of the Holy Ghost. This is mine? This is mine, okay. And if you look in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, it says, And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils and shall speak with new tongues. So, where do you see that happening? You find it in the book of Acts with Peter and Paul, with everyone who has experienced the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And they were given it by evidence of speaking in other tongues. This is how people knew they had received the Holy Ghost. And once they do that, they can cast out devils. We see that Paul cast out devils. You see that in Acts chapter 19. Jesus I know, Paul I know. And Paul's casting out devils because, hey, people are saying, I want some of that. Well, they this is what they do. In the name of Jesus, I adjure you. Well, they had not spoken in tongues. They had not been baptized in the name of Jesus because they were still a part of the way of the Hebrew faith. There's a new covenant. We're in the name of Jesus Christ now. No longer is that old covenant of effect. We need to follow what Jesus has commanded us to do. You must repent. You must be baptized in Jesus' name. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is a promise that you will receive the power to cast out devils, the power to do those things that you need to do on your everyday life. Okay? Now, this is the identifying factor for the church. This is the foundation upon which the church is built. Okay? Jesus has started the church in order for it to be fail-proof. Because if you don't know, so basically it's this. If you do not believe, you will not be baptized. If you do not believe, you're not going to listen to what I have to tell you. If you do not believe, you're not going to take this seriously. What I'm telling you, you're not taking this seriously. Okay? So you must be born again. And you do that through, again, we've covered it, repentance, baptism. I know this is really redundant. I apologize for it. But if you look in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, it says, "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." So this is the time where you are covered. And it's almost like, you know, you have a superhero, right? They have their costumes and capes and everyone comes out, they can fly and do all sorts of things. And well, we put on Christ, we put on that power. I don't know if anybody is familiar with the Power Rangers or whatever, but hey, this is when I was a kid, Power Rangers were my thing. We don't talk about that. You know, we're talking about the power, the superpower of God, the power that comes with being filled with the Holy Ghost, okay? So that comes with a lot of special abilities. That comes with love, with joy, with peace, with long-suffering, with a gentle spirit, with being faith and obedient. And I never figured out how to sign this word, but temperance. It's basically somebody who doesn't get angry quickly. All right. But this is important because this is the power that the sons of Sceva were missing out on. They did not have any access to this. This is the power that each and every one of us need because Jesus died for us. He died for us back then, for us now, and then for the future. But He died in order to give each and every one of us something. And this is really important. If you don't get anything, watch this. God died in order to give you the opportunity to buy into His kingdom. And what I mean when I say that is just because He died for you 2,000 years ago does not mean that we are automatically entitled to that salvation. Right? The Bible says very clearly that it is a gift, and it gives us a good explanation on how we're supposed to access this or how we're supposed to receive it. It gives us a perfect guideline of we need to do this, 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 we'll receive it. So we need to truly follow the Word of God and understand how we can get to heaven. Now, if you look in John chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." So notice that it might be saved. That's a tough conversation to have for some people, because a lot of people don't want to take the gamble. But you need to take the gamble. You need to say, "Hey, I'm going to gamble on this Word of God being the truth. I'm going to trust God at His word. I'm going to take Him at His word because He has told me, He has said, you must repent. You must be baptized in Jesus' name. Then you will receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost." So we need to obey. And we need to obey that today. Unless we pick up our cross, and if we don't pick up our cross and follow Him, we're not going anywhere unless you decide to turn away from the untoward generation that we're seeing today, unless we turn away from that and we turn towards God, we follow the process. Because God has established this for a reason. God loves each and every one of us. And we have to understand that it is like the role of a parent. And the role of a parent is tough. It is difficult. It is not always easy. But it is worthwhile. Just because your mother or your father has spanked you a few times does not mean you've hated them forever or they hate you forever. Okay? Sometimes life becomes a little rough. But that's okay. That's all right. You endure. You keep going. You persevere. And one of my favorite quotes here is, keep on keeping on. Okay? It's a good quote. And I don't care what you think. Okay? So, the last part here, we see that we need to receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And we see this in Acts chapter 2, 38. It says, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And how you know you've received it, if you look at Isaiah 28, 11, it says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. The evidence of receiving the infilling of the Holy Ghost is by speaking in other tongues. It's by that new language. You can't escape that fact. Jesus said it. We need to receive the spiritual baptism by speaking in other tongues. Some people say, oh, you know, it's just for the apostles. That's really who it was for. No. You remember what the word of God says. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call. And it is for everybody. So, musicians, can you come? I'm coming close to the end here. Jesus, his spirit being within us, he's the rest that he's promised us. If you look in the book of Matthew chapter 11, he's the rest that has been promised. You can't be the Jesus that Peter and Paul preached about. We can't be him. Brother Sutton has preached about Jesus. We cannot be him. We cannot be the Jesus that is preached about. We cannot be the Jesus that everyone talks about, but we need to be the Jesus that we live for. That's a must. We can't be the Jesus that baptized the church and is the reason why we're saved. And the name we can't be the whitewashed. We can't do that. We need to be the Jesus that lives within each and every one of us. Jesus lives in all of us, and we need to be filled with that. And the Old Testament has the veil where you see the separation in the tabernacle. And it separated the Spirit of God from everything else. But when Jesus died upon the cross and he yelled, "It is finished," that veil was torn from the top down. It was torn. Which checks off a major box here that says, now God's Spirit is now available for each and every one of us. So I have one more part here. If you look at Luke chapter number 10, verse 19, it says, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. There's power there. So much power that nothing can hurt you. So much power that you can overcome situations. You have control over the adversary. Once you receive that power, you have control to defeat the demons with that power. Hey, I'm losing my battle. Hey, I'm losing my struggle. It's not because the power is lacking. That is not why. The power will defeat everything in your life. It will defeat every struggle. But we do that by accessing that power, by being full of the Holy Ghost, by praying, by accessing his Spirit. That's when we can defeat every situation. That's when we can defeat the issues that confront us. Now, if you look at verse 20. Remember, Rather, the name is written in heaven. So this also shows me that if you accept and you receive the power of the Holy Ghost, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you've shown your faith by your works. It's not that the devil is scared of you in that essence, but he's scared of you because you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Because you've now been given the keys to walk up to heaven and say, hey, I'm home. And Jesus then can look at you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I'm looking forward to hearing that. Or seeing that, or however God is going to do it in the future. It's going to be an amazing experience when Jesus walks up to me, if he signs to me, what's up, Jasper? Thou good and faithful servant, you did a good job. No. I'm going to get my hearing back. When I go to heaven, I know. And it's going to be a good time. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm ready to see Jesus Christ. Amen. So when you receive that power, you have access to heaven. You need the Spirit of God within you. Musicians, you can go ahead. If you do not have the Holy Ghost and you want to experience the Holy Ghost, these altars are open for you. I want to invite you to the front, and I want you to experience the Holy Ghost that I was preaching about. I want us to have, some people can come and pray with you or however you want to do it, but I don't care how you want to do it. I just want those of you who have not experienced it, I want you to experience the presence of God and the power that is very real. These altars are open. If you've never felt the presence of God, if you've never experienced the Holy Ghost, these altars are open to you. If you need to pray through, if you need to pray for healing, if you need to pray for your financial issues, whatever you need, these altars are open for you, and we'll pray that God intervenes and is as a part of your situation. About. Let's go ahead and fill these altars with praise, with worship. Let's go ahead and praise God. I want each and every one of you to speak in other tongues. I want you to experience the heavenly language that I was preaching about. Let's all come to the altar and let's reach out for what God has for us.
Your anointing and your power.
these altars. Let's keep coming. Keep coming. God's Spirit is here. God's Spirit is here with us this evening. And He can fill you. He can fill each and every one of you. For those of you that need it and you've never experienced it, tonight is an opportunity that we shouldn't be passing. We can receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We'll pray with you so that you can receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. If you've never experienced the Holy Ghost, these altars are open for you. And we will pray with you so that you can receive that Spirit. The Holy Ghost? Mother, have you received the Holy Ghost? Have you experienced the Holy Ghost? Do you want to experience the Holy Ghost? If you don't mind, if there's a few ladies that are standing next to you, you don't mind if they all pray with you so that you can receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost? All right. For some of you young ladies, you're around her, go ahead and pray with my mother. Pray that she receives the infilling of the Holy Ghost.
Pour
Sorry, I lost my voice. My voice is back. So let's go ahead, each and every one of us, let's go ahead and give God a good hand clap of praise for what he's done with us, for everything he's done this evening, my God. Hallelujah, God, you're worthy. Hallelujah, God, we thank you for what you've done here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to thank you all for coming. It means the world to me, and I appreciate it. Really quick, I want to advertise or share the schedule for tomorrow. We're going to be meeting here tomorrow morning. Prayer starts at 9:30. We'll do a few songs tomorrow at 10 in the morning. We'll be meeting here in the sanctuary for that. After that's done, we will then break out into our classes. Again, we're going to have a deaf Bible study. We're having a beginner level interpreting class and an advanced level interpreting class, okay? We'll be meeting here. God bless each and every one of you. I'm thrilled. I hope to see you all here tomorrow. Thank you all for coming. God bless. Oh, sorry, one more thing. I forgot. Sorry, I totally forgot. We also have church tomorrow night. There's going to be a revival with Brother Curtis Noland. He's a great man of God. I love him. I love his wife. I love his son. Thank you for being my voice, Kyle. I appreciate it. They do an incredible job. They do great work in Sacramento, California. It is truly wonderful things that are going on, and we notice everything they're doing in that area, and they're doing a tremendous work. I've learned so much from them. So I encourage you all to be here tomorrow morning and tomorrow night. I expect a real move of God and hear Brother Curtis Nolan preach tomorrow evening. It's going to be an exciting time, and we're going to have a great revival. God bless you all. Thank you for coming.